East Nashgrass traces its route back to a Monday night residency at a cocktail lounge in East Nashville. That place turned out to be an incubator for what has become the outfit's trademark wit and fearless stage presence. East Nashgrass solidified its current core lineup around 2019 when Corey Walker and Harry Clark began playing full-time. And according to guitarist James Keys, that's when East Nashgrass became serious. East Nashgrass kicks off the 53rd annual Telluride Bluegrass Festival June 18th to 21st on Wednesday, June 17th at a free concert called First Grass that takes place at Sunset Plaza in Mountain Village. The group's main stage performance is scheduled for Friday, June 19th. This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to be speaking with Maddie Denton, IBM Fiddler of the Year, and Harry Clark, IBMA Momentum Instrumentalist of the Year. That was in 2022. Talking to them in the run-up to their Telluride debut. No doubt, East Nashgrass will be showcasing its third very buzzy release, All God's Children. Hey, you two, Maddie, Harry, thanks for joining me.
Hey.
Hey, Susan, thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
So you're at bat first, Harry. East Nashgrass started as a Monday night residency, as we mentioned above. What did playing at the Cocktail Lounge every week for 7 years teach you that no studio, no festival, probably no school could ever do?
Just the ability to, you know, kind of play things by ear and really, you know, not rely too much on, you know, a sound system per se, because we're playing in a bar where the sound is pretty much, you know, overruled by loud patrons and people getting off work and trying to unwind from the day, and then they have a bluegrass band playing at them. So we really had to learn to work with that type of audience to get them engaged in what we were doing. And also just the amount of hours you put in practicing as a band in a situation like that is pretty much worth its weight in gold.
Terrific. Thank you for that. And Maddie, All God's Children, the aforementioned third album of your group, that incorporates a reimagined Liberian chant alongside a bunch of original songs. How does your band decide how far you can stretch the boundaries of bluegrass before it stops being bluegrass?
Oh, man. Well, that song was brought to us by our friend of the band, Brenna MacMillan, who has some siblings from Liberia. And, you know, we love the beat. We thought that it sounded like it could be played with bluegrass or, you know, American folk instruments, and so we just put it on the record because we wanted to, just like the rest of the songs on the album. I don't know that, you know, we're necessarily trying to keep anything within any type of parameters. We just want to play what we like, and we've all been inspired by a lot of the same music. You know, traditional bluegrass, that's what we all love. We grew up cutting our teeth to that. But but we've also individually listened to all kinds of stuff. You know, some of us really love jazz. Some of us really love classical. Some of us really love rock. You know, and just we bring in, everybody brings in an element to this band that is characteristic of only themselves. And we just want to highlight, you know, what everybody does well and the individualism in this band and everyone's strengths, and that makes us stronger as a whole when we do that. So we just want to play what we like.
I'm sure the crowd's going to appreciate that. Thank you so much for that great answer. So East Nashgrass's Entertainer of the Year nomination at IBMA recognizes not just musicianship, but performance. So how would you describe what happens between you and an audience on what you would describe as a magical night?
A good night is kind of like having a good conversation with someone. I'm sure people out there have met folks who you just can't carry a conversation with, and mm-hmm. and you try to talk to someone and they don't give anything back. And playing a show is exactly the same. If the audience is there for it and ready to have a good time, that encourages the band on stage to, you know, put more out for the audience. And it's just a good night is when there's a great back and forth between the audience and the band. It takes two to tango in that sense.
Wonderful answer. Thank you. And Harry, I'm going to continue with you on the next question.
Okay.
Every member of your band has toured with major acts performing as sidemen. What's the difference between being in your own outfit versus being in someone else's group?
Total artistic control of what's going on. You know, I've been lucky enough to get to play with some of my heroes, and I've learned a lot from them, as have all of us who've gotten to play with, you know, some of the wonderful musicians that we've gotten to play with. But at the end of the day, you're playing their music, and you have to devote yourself to something that sometimes maybe is not 100% true to you. And playing in your own band really can let you develop your own artistry in a way that nothing else can.
Terrific. Thanks for that clarity. And Maddie, let's wrap up the sort of more general questions with you. East Nash Grass is being described as a supergroup and compared to the original Bluegrass Boys. Does that kind of historical framing feel like pressure or inspiration or both?
We've been doing this for a little while now, and this is a band that we started just, you know, playing at Dee's Lounge with our friends, and we're all friends and we love each other and we just play music together. And it's, we've gone from playing on Monday nights in one location only pretty much to now going to Ireland and France, and we're going up to Canada this year, and, you know, all over the United States. And we're just still the same people that enjoy playing music together. And, you know, I don't know, we're just still putting our pants on the same way I'd imagine. And that's what I try to think about, at least. It's very cool to look out in the audience and see people singing along with our original songs, and they know the lyrics to our original songs. And, you know, as long as that keeps happening, hopefully people will still say nice stuff about us.
And they are saying lots of nice stuff. Let's stay with you, Maddie, and get a little personal. Your grandfather, Clyde Lewis, played for square dances in rural DeKalb County. Your mother was a champion fiddler, and now you're IBMA Fiddler of the Year. What does it feel like to be the third generation carrying on that tradition? Does it feel like a major responsibility, a privilege? How would you sum that up?
Oh, it's such a privilege, and to be so connected to my roots and, you know, just this wonderful tradition of fiddle music in the Southeast, but particularly where we're from, Middle Tennessee. That's just such a rich heritage, and I'm so privileged to have been able to have 15 years with my grandfather before he passed on, and music was a big part of the time that we spent together, and I miss that every day. But I just feel so fortunate to have come from a musical family, and my dad mm-hmm. plays music as well, and he, you know, he played guitar for me at the fiddle contest for a long, long time. And music was just something that I could do with my family. And as an only child, you know, I really appreciate that. So it's a wonderful connection to heritage that I feel fortunate to have.
And just a coda on this question for you, Maddie. What was hearing your name called as IBM Fiddler of the Year? How did that recognition feel? Personally, and then beyond the award itself, what does it mean to you?
Oh man, it was an incredible feeling. It was a shocking feeling, very jolting, and you know, to just even see my name on the list with the wonderful fiddlers that, you know, Michael Cleveland, Stuart Duncan, Jason Carter, Bronwyn, like it. That in itself, but then I am still endlessly inspired by fiddle players whose names didn't even make it to the first round of voting or whatever. Like, you know, I find inspiration from musicians all over the place, and I will continue to do that. But, you know, Nate Leith, Tatiana Hargraves, Sammy Brayman, Brittany Haas, all of these, Christian Ward, Avery Merritt. I mean, there's so many fiddle players that I just find so much inspiration in. And so, yes, the award is an extreme honor, and I'm so humbled. And I always want to keep learning from the amazing fiddle players that are out there doing it.
Thank you for that. Harry, back to you with the same sort of personal stuff. Seeing Ricky Skaggs as a kid allegedly set you on your path. When you're up on stage now playing a major festival, do you ever think back to your those youthful, more youthful moments, like this, you know, having seen Skaggs? And do you ever think about the legacy and the path you're on?
You know, it's hard to say because sometimes on stage I'm not thinking about much at all. But but I do. I mean, I think back to that a lot. You know, I've had opportunities to get to play music with some of the guys who I saw in that first iteration of Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder, and it's just always kind of amazing. And, you know, it's a very full circle kind of feeling to get to play music with some of these guys who are actually the guys who kind of lit a fire under me and got me going in the first place. And, you know, that's what's kind of fun about this music and kind of cool about it is a lot of the times, the people who inspire you are not completely, unreachable, you know, it's a pretty tangible community.
Yeah, and many of them will be standing on the main stage at Telluride Bluegrass.
Yeah, I've definitely had some times on stage where last year I think a good example for everyone on stage was we played Rocky Grass, you know, in Lyons, mm-hmm. Colorado.
Sure.
And Bela Fleck sat in the front row and watched us, and I don't think anyone stepped off stage. It was pretty intimidating, but also validating and good stepping stones. You know, it's nice to have someone interested in what you're doing that you look up to. It's kind of affirming in a way that nothing else can really do.
Absolutely. Do you have a similar background to Manny? Do you come from a musical family as well?
My brother played guitar, and he took lessons from a youth minister at a local church. And there's always been like singing on both sides of the family, you know, rural Arkansas churches. There's a lot of hymn singing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a grandfather on my dad's side who wrote poetry and sang as well. But there wasn't a lot of instrumentation. My brother played guitar. I tried to play guitar and I couldn't wrap my hands around a guitar neck when I was 6 years old. My hands were too small. And eventually, moved to a different town and met a guy at a local college who, you know, was kind of a jack of all trades on a lot of instruments. And, he decided that I should learn to play mandolin because it would fit in my hand better. And, you know, I just kind of followed that, that path for a little bit, and then getting to go see Ricky Skaggs, that kind of, you know, I'd heard the O Brother albums, and I'd heard of Nickel Creek, and I knew mm-hmm. of Mandolin out there, but getting to see Ricky Skaggs' band, just the whole thing, fire on all cylinders, yeah. kind of as this just wild string band enigma, kind of floored me as a 10-year-old, and I mean, golly. It still kind of does. Anytime I go back and watch videos from that era of that band, it still kind of just blows my mind.
Great. Thank you. Either one of you can take this, but I think maybe, Maddie, it's your turn. East Nash Grass is known for its irreverent stage banter as much as its picking. Is that humor a survival mechanism on the road, or is it just who your group really is?
I don't know. Harry, help me out with this one.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
You're known for a kind of very interesting stage banter, kind of irreverent. Is that kind of banter kind of a survival mechanism, or who your group generally is together?
I'm not sure. We just say what's on our hearts and on our minds. And we just try to live our truth through the music and just be our truest selves on stage.
Okay. Both of you separately answer this. So start with you, Maddie. What does Telluride Bluegrass mean to you? And who are you most looking forward to sharing the main stage with or just seeing perform?
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the first recorded, you know, the first albums, one of the first albums that I can remember listening to when I was very young was the Telluride Sessions, Strength in Numbers. So I am very much looking forward to seeing the house band and just, you know, to play Telluride Bluegrass Festival is such, it feels like a monumental achievement. It's been something that we've had our eye on, and, you know, quite frankly, we're all just people, and so for me, it's like, will we ever get to play Telluride? Certainly had my eye on it in hopes, but that it seemed just something that I didn't know if it was going to happen or not. And now it's happening and it feels surreal. And we're so excited to get to play this festival that I've only heard about and never been to. So I am just thrilled, very excited.
Harry, Harry, how do you feel about all this?
Oh man, I'm so excited. It's been a lifelong dream of getting to play this festival. Anyone and everyone that I've ever looked up to musically has been a part of this festival. And like Maddie, you know, listening to Strength in Numbers, you know, I mean, that album is called the Telluride Sessions. It's kind of baked into the fantasy of the festival, I guess, especially with, you know, musicians like Bela Fleck and Sam Bush, Jerry Douglas, you know, the Telluride House Band. It's just like, you know, those are some of our biggest heroes, and they kind of set the tone for the festival. And anyone else who's playing, you know, I know the Punch Brothers are going to be playing there. I know.
Yeah.
I know it's just, and I know that the festival has grown to be more than just a bluegrass festival, even though that's the label it gets. You know, it's an American music festival. It's a world music festival. It's quite an honor to get to be there.
Okay. Thank you both. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with the IBM Fiddler of the Year, Maggie Denton, and IBM Momentum Instrumentalists of the Year in 2022, Harry Clark. They are members of the band East Nash Grass, who opens the show for the entire Bluegrass Weekend at First Grass on June 17th and don't miss their main stage set on Friday, June 19th. Thank you both for taking time out of your schedule to join me.
Oh, thank you, Susan. That was a pleasure.
Yes, thanks so much.
You're welcome.